Listen in. It's time to talk about transitions into management positions or internationalization in exotic destinations. We could parlay over testing and progressive applications or talk relationships, but mainly please don't leave for other stations.
There are many fun and pretty useful things to know. You might even learn some on the Angular Plus show.
Welcome to the Angular Plus show, where app developers of all disciplines gather to share their insights and experiences, and hopefully shed some light that will help you in your journey. I'm your host, Brian Love. Now let's get started.
Hey, it's Jennifer Waddello with the Angular Plus show. Do you ever feel like you spend so much time staring at code that you completely forget how to interact with other human beings? I know it happens to me. That's why I'm really looking forward to ngConf this year. Not only do the ngConf events gather the greatest minds in the industry all in one place, they create a safe, fun environment for developers to connect. You can meet us, the panelists of the Angular Plus show, as well as many of our guests there. So for tickets and to find out more, go to ngconf.org. That's ng-conf.org.
AgGrid is an enterprise-level JavaScript data grid used by most of the Fortune 500. It is unique in being the only data grid to have integrated charts. Your end users can select data in the grid and create their own pie charts and bar graphs to add custom reports. No extra programming required, just set a property when you render the grid. And it's the same for Excel export, pivoting, and row grouping. Just enable a property and the advanced functionality is available to your end users. Stop writing your own grid code. Seriously, discover more at ag-grid.com.
So yeah, my craziest camping experience was going up into Yellowstone and just having the weather be wild during the summer. I think when we got there, it was like sunny and we set up camp. And, you know, like during the night, it just turned into this like wild windstorm that was just pulling my tent. Like I was alone in my tent and I was holding down the tent with like all the wind that was just blowing all night. I don't think I got a wink of sleep. And the next day it snowed a little bit and then there was some thunder. Oh, the next day it was pretty erratic weather.
Mine too is weather related because my family, when we were little and I was probably like, you know, 12 or younger, used to go camping all the time. And there was one time, and I think this might've been like fifth or sixth grade. And I brought like my best friend with us, camping, and we were so excited. And I don't know if just like camping gear has gotten a lot better. Like I've always come from a frugal family. So like we had these probably cheaper end air mattresses.
Yeah.
Which like some people do sleeping bags on the ground. So it's not that bad, but so we're on our cheap air mattresses. Like everything is great. Well, it rains that night and the water seeps into the tent. Ooh. And the air mattress is deflated. And so we're like waking up in water.
Ooh. Oh,
like, oh my God, her friend's parents are never going to like, let her like hang out with our child again. They're going to be, yeah. So it was pretty entertaining.
Different definition of a waterbed.
Yeah, my crazy story hasn't happened yet. I'm learning from everyone else in the sense that similar to what Jennifer was saying, I didn't know that there was such a thing as air mattresses. And I just thought you took a sleeping bag and
you can do it that way.
You can. But they have like these fancy cots or like hammocks.
Yeah.
Ooh, have you gone to wander around an REI yet?
Me? No. I'm like, so here's where I'm at. Backyard camping. I went to Walmart, I get my tent. I find like a nature trail in like some nearby park that is camp friendly.
Yeah.
But that's it. There's never been any danger, any weirdness that I had to deal with. It's always been just really easy. So not quite RVing, not quite glamping. It's like bare bones.
That's awesome. I think that everybody should have like that experience of like kind of going out with not much gear.
It's a starter package for sure. But I'm going to be going to Yellowstone in August. And that's going to be my first time being out with like, hey, I need to actually know what I'm doing and making sure that I have like sort of that triangle that I'm learning about. Right? Is here's my tent. Here's my food. Here is my storage space. Make sure that the bears don't get me. All that good stuff.
Yeah. Wow. That's going to be such an experience.
Yeah.
I feel I want to send you a branded holster for bear spray.
Yeah. I'm learning about all that stuff. It's crazy. Reddit's been huge. YouTube has been huge. But yeah, I didn't realize, I'm just going to sound very newish, but I didn't realize that the community was so big and so welcoming. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we are back for another episode of the Angular Plus Show. This is actually the season finale for season 3. So we are very excited to be back with y'all in the fall to kick off season 4. But for today, the Angular Plus Show, where app developers of all kinds share their insights and experiences, I'm your host, Jennifer Wadella. And with me is my co-host, Nicole Oliver, and our guest, Michael Liendo. Did I say that right, by the way?
You did. Perfect.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Nicole, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm excited for the show.
Awesome. Me too. We were kind of pop quizzing Michael earlier before we really kicked things off. So excited to really dig down in.
No. Just want to keep you on your toes, you know? Yeah.
get your vocals warmed up.
Right.
Awesome. Well, so for anybody in our audience who might not be familiar with you and your work, will you kind of tell everybody who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thanks for having me. And for everybody in the audience, my name is Michael Liendo. I'm a senior developer advocate over at AWS. Specifically, I work on the Amplify team. So we are a cool group of folks who build out front-end tooling so that front-end developers have an easier grasp on AWS, because I don't think it's a shocker that AWS can be a little bit intimidating if you're a front-end developer, just because a lot of its services are low level and it can be tailored towards that back-end developer experience.
Very cool. So will you give us like the pitch for Amplify and why an Angular developer might be interested in this tooling?
Oh yeah, yeah. Give me the, sell you on it.
Yeah.
So, when I was first developing, one of the things that I was tasked to do was to simply get a website up and running on the web, right? So not localhost 3000, put it on like an HTTPS. The thing about that was I had to like learn Heroku, or I had to learn Node.js, and, you know, fire up an Express server, all those things. And when you start to scale and you start to learn that, you know, there's an easier way of doing things, you start to reach for typically a cloud provider. Now, focusing on AWS in this space, doing that within the scope of Amazon is actually really difficult traditionally. You had to learn about Route 53 and, you know, a CDN, how do you make sure your assets are cached? It wasn't fun, it wasn't welcoming, but there was a lot of money to be made because that space was just very convoluted. Fast forward to today, now we've sort of taken all of that, similar to the front-end space, how we sort of package up the low-level stuff and say, here's a framework. We've done the same thing with the cloud. And we've said, hey, if you just want to get a static website or any kind of website for that matter up on AWS, you can absolutely do that. Simply install our CLI, or even easier, give us a zip file and we'll just put that on the cloud for you. So that's the pitch. Now, there's a lot that you can do with Amplify because it's tooling and frameworks and libraries. But at face value, it's really going to be a front-end developer focused way of getting your assets up on the web.
That was really a great pitch.
Yeah. Oh, that got me really excited because I think that as a, you know, my history is like mostly as a front-end developer, and that has historically been very frustrating for me, like, you know, trying to deploy something and then, you know, running into this issue and this issue, like with every step of the way. And, you know, it's deterred me sometimes, like using certain services from like, you know, deploying at all. And so like having something that is like sort of targeted towards like a front-end developer, I think will be appealing to a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get into it later on in the podcast, but even our language is different. You know, we don't say, do you want to set up, you know, CI/CD and do you want to have a Lambda deployed? We say, do you want to add a function? And even when it comes to managing your storage and your databases and, you know, your S3 buckets, if you run a command Amplify add storage, we'll go ahead and decide that for you based off of asking a series of questions. Do you want to add images, audio, video, et cetera, meaning S3? Or do you actually want to store data and have it persisted long-term, meaning a database? So we definitely take a different take.
I will say, because like you reminded me of Heroku and the struggles I had back in the day, like would use it for pet projects or for my nonprofit. We had all these different organizations. And so we spin up these little micro websites and deploy them via Heroku. And I mean, like sometimes for me, that would be a day or two effort of just like fighting with it. But I just actually ran a project back in February we were talking about on Amplify. And I had that done not only in 5 minutes, but then had a blog post written alongside it to boot. It was that freaking easy. So if this came off as sales pitchy to any of y'all, they can back it up.
I appreciate that. One of the things that we try to focus on is that at the end of the day, as much as developers, we like to get our hands dirty. We like to make sure that we have this great looking build process in place. It doesn't matter, right? Our users don't care where our stuff is hosted. So all that, what we call at Amazon, undifferentiated heavy lifting, should be out of the way and managed by some other provider, because really we just want to make sure we can focus on what makes our product different from everybody else.
I love that term. So I'm going to kind of bring it down, because Nicole and I have both joked about our lack of experience in this area. Like you give me a YAML file and I like start crying into my desk. It's rough.
Me too.
So I feel like you mentioned a couple of things that, okay, if I'm just like a simple front-end developer, like back in the day, I would take an index.html file, I'd take my images folder, my CSS folder, and I'd slap that on FileZilla and I'd be good to go. What are some of the things I need to be thinking of as a modern developer supporting a modern web application deployed via Amplify? And what are some of the tooling that Amplify offers around supporting that?
Yeah. First off, shout out to FileZilla. I haven't heard that in forever.
Yeah, a throwback. Like,
those were the easy days.
Just going to say, like, have we made things that much more complicated where that was like, give me that. But as a modern developer, if you're building out an application today, there are a couple of concepts that you're almost always going to have in place, right? Authentication. So how am I going to have my users sign into my application? Another one is an API. So speaking in terms of maybe just a basic application, you're going to have your CRUD operations. And I'm going to say CRUD L. So create, read, update, delete, and then list. Right? So you want to get a bunch of those, a batch of those items. And if you take it from there, you can get pretty far. So Amplify helps in that regard. Oh, I guess, and then hosting, right? Well, how am I gonna easily put this and serve it on the web? Amplify will absolutely help in that regard. From the sense of authentication is one of the harder things to do at the AWS level, but it's one of the easiest things to do within Amplify. Amplify add auth using our CLI is gonna get that set up for you easily. Now, that'll get the backend set up. But we don't stop there because, again, we're catered for front-end developers. So we deployed components that live alongside your application. So that way you don't even have to create the authentication provider. In minutes, again, using 5 minutes as the benchmark here, you can have a system set up so that your users can log in, log out. And for me, if I were building this on my own, I would stop there. I was like, okay, they can log in, they can log out. But authentication goes a lot further than that. It's like, what happens when they forget your password? What happens when they're first signing up and you want to send them like a one-time verification code and have that sent to their email? All that stuff takes days, if not more, if you're me, trying to hand roll that stuff. And just, again, going back to that term, undifferentiated heavy lifting, your users don't care about that stuff. Just give me a way to log in. When it comes to an API, if you're a modern developer, you're looking in terms of probably two ways these days, REST or GraphQL. And we support both. AWS has API Gateway under the hood. We have AppSync under the hood. And again, our CLI is one of the best places to get started. I'm going to tote that a lot in this conversation, but Amplify add API, and we just walk you through a bunch of questions. So, and it's basically those same questions that you would have in a YAML file, but it's just now it's in a friendly sentence that you can say yes or no to.
And you don't have to fight the tabs.
You don't have to fight the tabs.
I love it.
We'll generate all of that stuff. And that's all we're doing. Like it might seem like magic, but really that's all we're doing is we're just asking you questions so that way we can write that for you. You can feel free to bring your own and use CloudFormation and all that stuff. But why do it when you could just get down to what makes your app great? So, and then I think we alluded to earlier, hosting. Hosting is one of the best ways to use Amplify. You can give it a zip file. You can connect it to Git, a Git provider, GitHub, Bitbucket, et cetera. And then that way, every time you push to GitHub, it's going to rebuild your app. And then you get a fresh build up. We do instant cache and validation. So you don't have to worry about, you know, are my users seeing old data? It's all going to be fresh and ready for you.
That's really cool. So a lot of those options that you mentioned, like the add-ons and things like that, are they kind of like easy to find in the documentation, or are they just like already set up for you? Like when you're just like setting up a project, like you're kind of like walking through like a series of questions and it just gets set up for you?
Yeah, I would say both, right? You could use our documentation. And the cool thing about our docs is that we have a guided approach where if you're using Angular, you have a specific Angular flow. It's not going to be generic in the sense of like, you know, just do this. If you're using React, Flutter, iOS, et cetera, our flows are tailored with the code snippets already there for whatever framework that we support, which, I mean, we support like 8 different of the most popular frameworks now. And then also within our CLI. Once you install the Amplify CLI, Amplify Init is going to get your project set up. Once you do that, we, throughout the CLI, we'll still say things like, you know, hey, if you're trying to add an API, run this command. If you want to add auth, run this command. So the two work hand in hand, and I think it's a really, really good experience in my very biased opinion.
What you were saying about auth really resonated with me, because I just like started working on like an auth project recently. And it is the way you say, it's like, you start off feeling like everything is like really simple, and then you add on all these like little pieces and you're like, oh my gosh, auth is very, very complicated once you really get into it.
I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, I don't have to worry about hashing passwords, salting them, all of those decisions, making sure that like, am I using cookies? Am I using JWTs? Like, it doesn't, like, we're past that. Like, now we can build out really complex applications because that stuff is handed off to folks who know what they're doing, right? This is AWS in your pocket.
Yeah. If you told like five years ago, Nicole, about all of this, she would probably not believe it.
Yes, right? It's too good to be true, but it's here.
One thing I kind of wanted to ask about, because I feel like we've all heard those like AWS horror stories of somebody like not knowing what they were doing and racking up thousands of dollars of charges. How does somebody get started with Amplify? Can they just run a test project for free, or are there any costs associated?
So you do need an AWS account to get started with Amplify. And so with that, that comes with before, I mean, that's pre-Amplify, right? It's like, you got to make sure you're doing your due diligence, in which case, if you, I'm just going to plug real early here. If you're not familiar with how to get your account set up, follow me on YouTube. I have a whole playlist of best practices and ways to make sure that you don't get that scary bill.
That's awesome. Again, nice.
Yeah. It's like, I was going to say that to the end, but let's just roll that in. So in addition to that, though, once you get set up with Amplify, one of the nice things that we really take a focus on is having a serverless approach. So our tools and our services to use Amplify, it's free to host. There's like a hosting cost that every provider would have, but to use the underlying AWS services, we don't charge anything extra in addition to that. We're really just trying to make sure it's easy for everybody. In fact, our services are open source, and some folks, they fork them and they run their own, or what I would probably err on the side of is just contributing back to the community and submitting PRs and things like that. So because of that, I mean, if you're adding authentication, Cognito gives you 50,000 users for free. Now, I'm just going to throw it out there. If that is still getting expensive for you, then we have a different problem to discuss, right? Like 50,000 users and you haven't monetized them yet. There's other things that we can probably talk about. So and then same thing with the API. We use API Gateway. And then all of these are free tier eligible. So if you have a brand new AWS account, we don't charge you anything extra. That has a free tier, et cetera.
Awesome. So if somebody's watching this episode, they can sign up for AWS and start playing around and getting that random test app they have built in Angular deployed that may or may not be using the Animal Crossing API.
Right. We don't know anybody like that.
Yeah. Nope. So let's see here. Nicole and I, coming from the Angular world, we are big into static site generation using a tool called Scully. So, and I feel like that's the reason why I started looking at Amplify, is because it was one of the things I was seeing over and over and over again. What should you use to deploy your statically generated site? So can you talk to us a little bit about support for that?
Yeah. Now, when you talk about statically generated sites, really, there's that pre-generation process. So if you have a very specific build process, you can still, one of the nice things about Amplify is that you can still modify that build template. It's going to be in YAML if it's an unofficially supported build process. So for now we're hopping back into like the tabs world. But you would still need those scripts if you were going to put that essentially anywhere else. So at the end of the day, you have that pre-build script. You insert that into the YAML file. You upload that. Or you do it like before you even touch Amplify, because really all we're looking to get is that index.html file and, you know, that app.js or whatever you're looking for. Static sites are really great in that sense, in which case you can have a CI/CD pipeline that can go ahead and trigger that, or you can handle it yourself and do it old school.
So it'd be easy to like set up like a blog or something like that with AWS Amplify.
Yeah, that's actually one of our pre-built templates that we give you. Is we just say, hey, you probably want to have a very basic, maybe some relational data involved, yeah. In which case we give you, if you're using our API category, a schema that'll have a blog with, you know, here are posts and posts have comments, and there's a tying relationship between them.
Cool. So are we looking forward to your new camping blog in a couple months then, to play it on AWS Amplify?
So funny, this is going to be a kind of a sidetrack, but there is a show on Netflix called, what is it? The Most Amazing Vacation Rentals in the United States.
Oh yeah, I've seen that one.
Have you? And one of them has like these really cool glamping style theme.
Yeah.
And I've bookmarked like 6 trips off of that show, but in terms of an actual blog, I mean, anything is possible in the future.
What are some personal projects? What are some personal projects that you've worked on?
Yeah, it depends. Are we talking about the active ones or the graveyard ones?
Any of them that sound interesting. We have a lot of graveyard projects. At least I do.
Right.
Are you a developer if you don't have at least a couple?
Right. One of the ones that I have is a food truck. The city that I live in, it's interesting because we are big enough that we have food trucks, but we're not so big that we know where they're at. It's a shame. It's like, I know they're there, but where are they again?
Yeah.
Wait, and what city are you in? I don't think we asked.
It's I'm in Iowa, and the metro that I'm in is called the Quad Cities, which is weird because it's comprised of 5 cities.
Yep. I went to Drake in Des Moines, and everybody was from the Quad area. That's just every person's intro.
Yeah.
Or a suburb of Chicago.
Right. I've raced on that food track. It's that's where.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we actually did like good 1 year while I was there, and that was it.
Nice.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Oh, projects. Sorry. So I'm building out a food truck application. It's where you have segmented users, you have a public community that can access the site, and then you have a gated platform where I introduce Stripe. Where food truck vendors can sign up via a subscription and have a have their product listed, so that way people can find them. So using that, using a little bit of our geo category, which we just recently launched, we can have food trucks send their location updates, have them displayed on a map, and the world is happy. And it's scratched my own itch. I really just need to find like taco trucks, and I get very disappointed. Yeah. So,
okay. So but is there like a ranking system? Are you able to rank which of these are the best taco trucks?
In terms of reviews, it's not something that I've added just yet. I'm going for MVP. Otherwise, it's going to end up in my graveyard and I'm never going to
feel you.
It's never going to see the light of day.
Tell us more about the geolocation service that you mentioned.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things that, so the cool thing about a little bit of a preface here. The cool thing about Amplify and AWS in general is that it's really just a bunch of startups working together under like the safety net of a really well-funded investor. So because of that, we can have our various categories. Our API category within Amplify is its own team. And same thing with Auth, et cetera. Now, our customers said, hey, we want the ability to add in maps. We want to display them. We want especially the APIs where you can have geofences. And because we're AWS, we can integrate with all the other AWS services. So when a person exits or enters a geofence, I'm going to be notified of that. We say, cool. You know, there's obviously a front-end component to that. So we put a team together and we ran with it. Now we have Amplify Add Geo. It's a category that you can again install with our CLI. And we walk you through those same series of commands. You know, are you trying to add a map? And we use open source within AWS ourselves. So we use MapGL to facilitate a lot of the mapping stuff. And then we use AWS services to have notifications sent across various things while still making it easier for developers to interact with.
Cool. And I'm a noob. Is a geofence, is that like a certain like area or like that somebody goes?
No, you're spot on. Yeah. So you're saying, you know, within a certain diameter, I want to, so say 2 miles, I want to be notified. I like tying in stories. So the cool story is that Burger King put a geofence around McDonald's and it was basically 1 mile. So that way, every time a customer who had the Burger King app went to McDonald's, they got a notification saying, hey, here's $5 off of a burger.
Oh, so tricky.
That's shady. Yeah. And I love it.
It's so sinister, but it's a perfect example of what's known as geo marketing. And those are the kind of apps that we're trying to build.
That is very cool. We actually had a potential client that was trying to do almost like walking performance art to get people involved in cities and knowing about the culture. And I guess they first like used some platform by a company that, and I don't even know what it is, but that was a big part, is like the geolocation didn't work and they weren't getting the audio at the right time. But that sounds like the perfect solution to exactly what they're dealing with, which is like notifying or doing something when you hit one of those geofences. Ooh, this is cool.
Yeah. I actually know about geofencing because I set up a geofence for like a custom Snapchat filter for my partner and I. My husband and I got married and like we did this like custom Snapchat filter and we set up just around the like, you know, the wedding venue so that people in, you know, the other parts of the world are not using your random filter.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's super cool.
This is Loyal Carlin, producer of the Angular Plus Show. You probably have a few product ideas sitting in the back of your mind that haven't quite taken off yet. What's the holdup? Well, not only do you have to finish the app, but then you have to build a website and a bunch of other pieces needed to take your app to market. That's where Transaction Factory comes in. We help business owners like you create effective websites and marketing that engages your ideal customer so you can get that idea out of your head and into the market. Learn more at transactionfactory.io.
Cool. Yeah, we totally went down a rabbit hole. On that
I was like, wait a minute, what are we talking about?
Passion projects, like, food trucks. I'm hungry. I want tacos.
And then I want to Snapchat it.
Yes. I'm still not on Snapchat. I'm like, that's where I drew the line of like, nope, this is where I'm old personing out on social media.
Same.
Okay. Nice. So were there other cool passion projects that are using sweet, sweet features that Nicole and I would love to hear more about?
There's so passion projects that I have, it's tricky because being a developer advocate means I'm always creating projects. And oftentimes it's like I create them in such a way that I just want others to be like, here's what you can build. So seeing something to completion isn't something that I have the opportunity to do a whole lot. In essence, I just try to focus on event-driven architectures, best practices, and really trying to bridge that gap between, you know, the new front-end developer, what they look like, and saying, hey, it's your static site generators, plus if you're full stack, it's not going to be maybe Express, but it's going to be, you know, a cloud provider. And what does that look like when you start working with serverless technologies?
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about like what you've described so far is that I think a lot of people have like a lot of ideas about passion projects that they might pick up in their free time. But maybe you don't get inspired until you know about a certain service or like know about like a certain integration that like you could use in a particular way. Like, you know, we were just kind of riffing on like geofencing, but like there's, you know, there's all kinds of things that you could like hear about and then say like, oh, that would be really cool, like to solve this particular problem that I didn't even know I had, or just like, you know, like I didn't know I needed this tool to like make my life easier. And then that kind of like fuels your after work project.
Yeah. Yeah. Now what I am fortunate enough to do is I really focus on the amplifying production side of things. So I move past sort of the to-do apps and I get to integrate with our customers, startups, enterprises, et cetera. And one of the folks that I know I can mention is Nick De Jesus in Paris, Athena, in which they lead Black Tech Pipeline. Yep. So Nick reached out to me being a community builder and he was like, hey, I'm trying to build this. But I want to do it with Amplify. Well, first he said, I want to do it with AWS. Mm. And he said, hey, I've been trying for a month now. I haven't gotten anywhere. I said, well, give Amplify a shot. And within a weekend, he was able to get further than what he did in a month.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah. Now they're getting ready to, he just launched it, I want to say 2 weeks ago. They have signups going. You have, in terms of sort of API design, you have candidates, you have companies. And then you have Paris on the back end submitting sort of the middle person there, making sure that the two can talk to one another. Having all of that power as a one-man army is crazy. A one-person army is just crazy to have it in your pocket.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. And then you've mentioned a couple times API gateway. Will you kind of explain what that is for people who might not be familiar? Or is that like a term or is that a platform?
Oh, for sure. I appreciate you calling me out on the services. I'm ingrained in it day by day. So
no, you're fine. I'm going to hit you on like all the noob questions. So
do it. API gateway is an AWS service that allows customers to set up their API routing. Now that is a vast oversimplification because it will also handle things like throttling, caching, API limiting, and in addition to setting up all the routes. Now, typically, when you use API Gateway, that's going to be hand in hand with AWS Lambda. And a lot of folks know that as serverless functions or cloud functions. So we make the distinction of AWS makes the distinction of separating the two. There's API Gateway, which is sort of the forefront of your API. But when that HTTP request comes in, it has to go trigger something. And that's going to be a Lambda function. And one of the things that I get on my high horse about is that a lot of frameworks, they marry the two. And so when a developer comes in, they never even realize that behind the scenes, that's actually two different components. There's the API, and then there's the event that the API triggers. So I appreciate the call out because that definitely mentions or merits its own distinction there.
Cool. So like, and you mentioned all this backend support for full stack development. Okay. Let's say, you know, I'm a noob Angular developer. I'm super good on the front end. I have this great idea for an app. But I just have barely touched Express. I've not dealt with, you know, a lot of backend development, but I know I need some sort of CRUD API. Like what tooling is going to bootstrap for, like, is there tooling that's going to kind of bootstrap that for me and hold my hand through it?
Okay. So better to have your mind blown. So
I'm so ready.
All right.
So help me be lazy. Angular.
Right. That's what we're all here for. Right. If you have that Angular app, you're like, I need those CRUD operations. And it sounds like from what you're saying, you're familiar with Express. You're like, how do I get this on AWS? If you run Amplify add API, it's like, cool, I'm just trying to add an API. It's going to give you two options, GraphQL, which we definitely want to touch on. But in this example, REST. When you say REST, it's going to say, hey, are you trying to add in full CRUD operations with a database tied to an API? And you're like, yes. So you click that and it generates a file with all that already bootstrapped. Like your database is already created and Whoa. The code itself.
So I don't have to like go fight and sign up with like MongoDB and like wire everything together myself. It's just there.
It's all there.
Wow.
It's all there.
Audience, collective minds being blown right now.
If you don't, this is how bad I am. If you don't believe me, check out my YouTube channel where I show how to do this.
Smash that like and subscribe.
Oh my God.
Hit that notification bell.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I love it. Okay, so database up and running.
Yeah, so all of the routes. So if you're used to Express, we generate, and it's not like the single line code that you can't modify. Like, it's your code. So you have your app route. You have, you know, app.get, app.post. We even stub out through the CLI. If you tell it what kind of API you're trying to build, like a, I don't know, books API. If you give it that /books, all of your code snippets within that file are going to say /books. It's cool.
That's magical.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Pretty crazy.
Let's see if I can find some time to go play with this weekend, because I'm like, oh, that sounds awesome. Now I can
I feel inspired.
Get to some of my trash projects that got blocked by my lack of backend skills.
No, it's something else. And you know, in addition to, it's not just like you get like an app.get and then it's empty. Like, in terms of how do you manage the database connection, we provide that code snippet as well. And at the end of the day, when you're ready to get it all pushed up, because so far it's all locally, right? When you're ready to get it pushed up to AWS, you say amplify push and we do it. That's it.
You push it real good. Just
dun, 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 dun. Okay, let me stop.
I will say, like, we definitely have a lot of clients that when they're looking at tech stacks, everything's starting to push TypeScript and GraphQL as well. So, you know, would love to hear more about the support that Amplify has for GraphQL and what that looks like.
It's, in my opinion, we support REST because it's a gateway to get folks onto AWS, but we really shine when we start talking about GraphQL and especially how that marries with TypeScript. So going down that same flow, right? We're trying to build this application. We're good on the front end, but maybe this time we want to explore GraphQL. Same command, amplify add API. And then this time we're going to click on GraphQL. Now, keep in mind, I'm saying things like REST and I'm saying things like GraphQL, but under the hood, it's API gateway and Lambda. And in this case, it's AppSync. It's like things that the developer doesn't even have to think about. When you say GraphQL, we follow a series of questions. We say, cool, what kind of schema template do you want to work with? Now, if you work with GraphQL, presumably you know that there you have your types, you know, queries and mutations, and then you have your resolvers. When you go down that flow, we use a schema-based first approach. So say you have that same books example. You have your type, it's books, in this case, book singular. And if you want that database connection, you say you give it a directive, @model. And that says basically create all of my CRUD operations tied to a database for me. Like, you even have to work with the code. We generate the code for you. And we even ask you, hey, when we generate this code, do you, your resolvers, do you want that to be in JavaScript? Do you want it to be in TypeScript? And also, where in this code directory do you want me to put it? At the root, at your source directory, et cetera. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that sounds really powerful.
Yeah, it's great when you work with GraphQL, because using those directives, we add on more and more Amplify specific functionality. I mentioned the @model directive, but if you want to add in authorization, not just authentication, which is its own separate category, but if you want to authorize this API saying, you know, who can do what with these books, you say @auth and you give it just objects. You know, here is the owner. The owner is whoever created this book, book item in my database. They're now the owner. You specify what operations they can do.
That's really
cool. Because we tie in with Cognito, our authentication provider, you can also specify, you know, what various groups do we have. And this is all, that tie-in, that binding is all handled for you. So it's one of the cooler aspects.
Nicole, I felt like you had a question face, so I was waiting.
No, I did. I did have a question and then it escaped me.
I saw the gears turning.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
And then I was like, wait, okay. Is she muted? Is she unmuted?
No. I just spaced out for a second. Yeah, I was just thinking about how like when I'm setting that stuff up with GraphQL, generally in applications, like there's quite a few different ways that I've seen that, like all of that infrastructure set up. And so it sounds really nice to be able to like have that be generated for you. And then like, I'm assuming that like you kind of mentioned before that all that code is like still available to you. So if you need to make modifications, like you still can, right?
Absolutely. So we generate those files. They're not, and it's not a black box. They're open, they're available to you. You can go ahead and push them up to AWS. And even after the fact, if you make changes to your schema, say you add on a new field, you can still do amplify push and we'll recognize where those changes took place.
Mm. Nice. Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, I feel like that would be a great way to get started with GraphQL too. Cause like, you know, if you haven't had the opportunity to work with GraphQL, I know a lot of people are working with older systems or just, you know, they have a REST API and they don't have the opportunity to like work with GraphQL yet. Like that sounds like the ideal way to get started.
Yeah, for me, when I got started, it was the resolvers for me. It was like, I heard this benefit of creating a schema and adding the files there.
Yeah.
And just, you know, defining what I want my objects to look like, but tying in the resolvers was always the tricky part. Now I don't have to worry about it. The database is created for me. Those connection points are created and it's all just under the hood and I can just go back to focusing on my app.
Very cool.
So is there anything we have not covered on the magic and the mystique of AWS Amplify and how it can make developers' lives better?
I would say there reaches a certain point where you want to do something specific, something that requires not, you want to go beyond the CRUD app, right? And it's like, what does that path look like? And a lot of frameworks that facilitate something like Amplify, this is sort of where they stop. It's like, you know, we were able to get you here, but we've hid everything from you. So now we can't go any further. Amplify doesn't hide that stuff. And if you want to extend it with other AWS services, you run Amplify Add Custom and we generate via what's known as the Cloud Development Kit, the CDK. And you can write your own infrastructure as code and tie that in to other AWS Amplify services. So we have over 200 services. So you can do whatever you want from that standpoint. I would say that's going to be on the deeper end, but it's definitely possible.
Yeah. So like when we were describing, when you were describing things earlier, I was kind of thinking like, wow, this sounds like a great way to prototype something or like work on personal projects. Like we've kind of talked about like this being a great tool for like when you're starting out with something, but it sounds like it's actually a great way to like, you know, continue with like a very mature, fully formed project. You know, something that you might want to start with at your company.
Yeah, you know, some of the vendors that I know I can speak on, Taco Bell. Taco Bell uses Amplify. So next time you order that, you know, chalupa, just think there's
a Mexican pizza. Excuse me.
Oh yeah, it's back. I forgot.
No, they ran out. It won't be back again until August, and I'm upset about it.
Oh no.
Wait, is this the first time I've ranted about this on the podcast? I can't like.
I don't know. I haven't heard this before.
Okay.
Is it like a quesadilla pizza?
You've never had the Mexican pizza?
No, I haven't.
I've never had.
Oh God. Mm-hmm. Okay, so apparently, like, you had to like grow up when you were like LAN partying until 3 a.m. and like Taco Bell was like the greatest thing in the universe. But like the Mexican pizza, it's almost like a tostada, where you've got kind of like a crispy shell and then they layer ground beef and refried beans and then like another crispy shell on top of it. And then they coat that with like maybe like an enchilada sauce and cheese and tomatoes. And it's horrible.
And delicious. Yeah. It sounds like LAN party food.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. No, I do have an Instagram video saved of how to do your own. So maybe I'll share that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Send it to me.
Like that.
Anyway.
And the 2-liter Mountain Dew. It's all you need.
Yeah.
Code red.
So yeah. So Taco Bell, if you wanted to order a Mexican pizza, they are on Amplify.
So that is one of the things that doesn't really get as much attention, is that I speak of Amplify like it's this one thing, mm-hmm. but really it's a combination of libraries and tools. So when you get at enterprise levels, you know, using all of Amplify probably doesn't fit well within your organization. And that's perfectly fine. You know, you can tie in specific Amplify services and use them as just individualized libraries inside of your organization if that's easier. So Taco Bell uses Amplify, not all of it, but they use our services. And that's, you know, our libraries and some of the underlying functionality. HBO does the same thing for all of their, HBO Max to be specific, uses that for a lot of their real-time streaming. And that's using some of the GraphQL components. And then Amazon Music, which again, so I'm going to say Amazon Music, but you might be thinking, well, duh, it's Amazon. It's like, but going back to AWS operates as individualized startups, it's a completely separate organization. They just receive funding top down like we did, but they use Amplify as well. And when you start to look at that scale, I mean, these are millions of users doing real-time events. Amplify is facilitating that. So it's pretty cool to see.
I didn't know that about like AWS's like structure, that it operates like a series of startups.
It's really called the two pizza model. So, I feel like Jennifer and I are going to have our own complaints about what I'm about to say, but it's called the two pizza team model, because the idea is that the team should be no larger than it can to sort of feed them with two pizzas. Now, I bring Jennifer in because she's a gamer, so I can eat a whole pizza by myself, and then probably a few slices of her pizza. So if you know, she and I were on a team, maybe that model doesn't work. But the idea is that we can, you know, you have six members. So the DA team, for example, we're four people. So two large pizzas would probably suffice us.
So wait, is the amount of pizza you can eat a metaphor for how badass you are at coding and knocking features out?
There's not probably how hungry some, you are.
Right.
So I can eat a whole Mexican pizza. I don't know about a regular pizza.
It's like, is this Chicago? Is this New York? What are we working with here?
Yeah, there are levels here that need to be understood.
But no, the startup mentality is very much so AWS. Every service that you see, that itself gets broken down into its own team and then further into the various teams that support it. And that's all of AWS. That's why it's so different from the rest of Fang, because of our structure.
Very cool. I was going to ask, are you starting to do conferences again in person?
I'm very much so looking forward to everything real life. I am.
Yeah. What's on the horizon more for you?
Yeah, I have. What do I have? Next month, I'll be in New York. I'll be at New York Summit. So AWS holds regular summits. We have, of course, reInvent later on. I have IndieCode, which is going to be in Indiana.
Oh, I've done that one before. Oh, nice. I keynoted there a couple years ago.
Oh, nice, nice. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll be there. And what else do I have? Oh, MongoliaJS, or Mongolia. MagnoliaJS.
I was like, oh my gosh, you're going to Mongolia? That's incredible. It's a long flight.
I don't think Mongolia has a conference. separate thread. And then, yeah, in terms of international travel, I had some passport issues earlier, so I had to turn down Berlin, but we had some folks go to Berlin as well.
Gotcha. Very cool. I like that you're running some of the Midwest cons that I do. Like us Midwest devs got to unite.
Let's meet up.
Yeah, I'll need to put you on the radar next year for KCDC, which is the one in Kansas City. Yeah, it's pretty big. CFP is already closed, but we can finally bring our European friends back in. So we're very excited this year.
That is exciting. Yay. I'm glad to see that things are opening up. I hope they continue down that trend. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think we're learning how to live in this COVID ongoing world.
I call it in the before. It's like, that's how I refer to it. In the before, we couldn't do this stuff.
Mm-hmm. And now we have the now.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. Well, other than the conference circuit, where can people find you online?
Twitter is always the best spot. I know as DAs, we don't do a whole lot of one-to-one sort of consulting, but I like to do one-to-one consulting. I can help it. Folks slide into my DMs and I can't say no. I just love it. Also, you can find me on my blog. I do a lot of my deep dives, big projects. And again, this is more of the advanced stuff, but blog.focusotter.com. That is my company, and I tie it into some of the AWS stuff. And then my YouTube channel, Focus Otter, as well.
Is there a story behind the otter that we need to know about?
There are several. The one I'm going to tell, the version, is that prior to getting a job on the Amplify team, I was trying really hard to get a job at AWS in general. I was like, this is the one that I'm going to shoot for. And one of the projects is the cloud development kit that I alluded to earlier. Their mascot is an otter. So I formed an LLC and I called it Focus Otter. I created a YouTube channel where I was posting technical content on this Focus Otter brand. And I was like, notice me.
And, wow, that's commitment.
Boo.
But fortunately, I always tied it in with the front end stuff. So the Amplify team saw me, and I still work with that team just indirectly now. We use their services as part of Amplify. So it all works out.
The rest is history.
Plus otters are super cute. So
yeah,
it is. I do have a pretty cute mascot.
Yeah. Is it a river otter or an ocean otter?
It is. I don't know. I'm Googling right now. I think river otter, ocean otter.
Because there are Which different kinds, cuter? Right?
Okay, it is a North American river otter. That is definitely the one that I have.
Okay. Cute. I have a friend with a boathouse in Vancouver, and he's got a video camera up in there. And so I know way more about random sea, cute mammals than I probably should.
Is the camera always on?
It's a sea otter.
Catches.
Oh, it's a sea otter. Yeah. Sea otter makes more sense than ocean otter. Okay, both Nicole and I are not on a good brain train today.
It's all good. It's all good.
And then there is an AWS Amplify Discord channel as well, right?
Absolutely. So we have two areas of focus for the community. We have our Discord. Feel free to engage. Anybody can join that. And then if you find yourself putting out content, note that we have, and I actually lead the front end side of the AWS Community Builders Program, in which case it's a select sort of invite only. I guess anybody can apply, but then we have to accept your application, where we give you swag, we give you hundreds of dollars of AWS credits that you can use. You get discounts on certain activities and exclusive NDA webinars. So folks that want to join that, you don't have to be super into AWS. I always want to stress that, is that if you're looking for the front end side of things, since I lead that, I look at everyone's application. And if you have interest, whether you're a React developer, Angular developer, et cetera, apply. And a lot of folks use that just to network.
Very cool. So if I publish my blog post, can I apply? will you accept me?
Yeah. Oh, well, those are two different questions. you can apply.
Well played.
The world is your oyster.
Right.
All right. Any closing thoughts before we wrap up?
Closing thoughts. Thanks for having me on the show. It's been great. Check out my book that's coming out later this year. Yeah, showing how to build a micro SaaS application. So instead of showing how you can build out one project that gets you $1 million, why don't we just get maybe three projects that bring in, $10,000?
Cool. What is it called?
It is Full Stack Micro SaaS on AWS.
Nice.
Very cool.
Definitely. It's going to be a good time. But if you have any questions on Amplify, hop on the Discord, say hi. And again, it's been a pleasure.
Cool. Thanks so much for coming on. Nicole, anything you have?
No, I learned a lot today and I'm feeling inspired to work on some projects now.
Right?
Made it sound so easy. I feel like I got to do it.
Oh, that's awesome. Real quick about the book. Is there a link that people can go to pre-order, or do they have to just follow you on Twitter and stalk you mercilessly until you release it?
I like the second option. Pre-orders are me
coming okay, up so stalkers talking. Apply here.
Yeah. Here we are, sliding into my DMs. No pre-orders just yet. It's looking like September. I'll be able to have enough chapters up where it'll be a meaningful pre-order. So that way it'll be a good time. You get some value after giving me your email address.
Very cool. Very cool. I might not even plus one you for that. All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us for the very last episode of season 3 of The Angular Show. We're going to take a break. We are very excited to be back in the fall with the premiere of season 4 of The Angular Plus Show, just in time for ngConf. So thanks so much for listening. Have a great day, everybody.
That's another episode of The Angular Plus Show. Our hosts are Laura Newsom, Jennifer Wadella, Nicole Oliver, and Brian Love. Thank you to our producers, Brianne Smithia and Loyal Carlin, our founders, Joe Eames and Aaron Frost, the entire ngConf team, and all of our sponsors and subscribers for making this episode of the Angular Plus Show possible. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for a future episode, contact us at theangularplusshow.com/contact or reach out to us on Twitter @AngularShow. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Angular Plus Show.